When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Theo, freeze. You froze, Theo. Go ahead. All right. Well, welcome into First Class Fantasy. Theo's having some technical difficulties. I am your co-host, Billy Musio. With me today, we have Jeff Erickson. Theo's connecting. Theo, you back?
I'm back. I'm back, Billy. Apologies to everyone. Welcome to First Class Fantasy. I'm Theo Greminger. Billy Musio, thank you for taking over a little technical difficulties in the Greminger household. Billy, we're really excited. This is almost Thanksgiving week, but we got to get through week 11. And I'm really excited that we're joined today. First time here on First Class Fantasy. First time I've podcasted with Jeff Erickson of RotoWire. Jeff, welcome to First Class Fantasy. Let everybody know where they can find your work.
Hey, thanks for having me on board. I really appreciate it. Find me on Twitter at Jeff_Erickson. Of course, on RotoWire. And you can catch me on SiriusXM Fantasy. We are on during football season at night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern time. I think, Theo, you've been on the show with us before. I think one or both of you is doing a Thanksgiving Day draft with us. So and we'll get you on the RotoWire podcast, too, because I talk a lot. So I'm in a lot of different places. So I'm glad to be here as well. I'm really having a good time. And, hey, it's a busy week. Big week here.
Yeah, and I see the Cincinnati Bengals hat on. So you're a little bit excited about tonight. We're going to talk about Thursday Night Football. We're going to talk about a lot of these games, and I see some really good questions in the chat. We're going to get to those as well. But if anybody listens to Press Coverage or First Class Fantasy, and a lot of you guys are regulars on these shows, Billy and I have been talking to pretty much any guest we have, and we're asking them this. You know, you put a lot of preparation in the offseason, Jeff, getting ready for your drafts, getting ready for your player analysis. Which player is the biggest positive surprise for you this season? And the caveat is he's not allowed to say Puka Nacua.
Exactly. I'll go Rashad White. RB12 right now. He's not running well between the tackles because nobody can in Tampa with that offensive line. But he's been really involved in the passing game. He's fended off every effort to kind of take over third downs. He is a three down back. He's really good in the passing game, and they keep finding ways. And even the running game has been incrementally better than it was at the start of the year. I mean, there's only so much you can do in Tampa, but he's a guy that I can comfortably start every week. And I didn't think I was going to be able to say that. I thought he was more of a flex play, matchup play. And instead now he's kind of plugged into my lineups.
Love the answer, Billy. We can kind of pat ourselves on the back because me, you, and Matt Kelly were all over Rashad White this past offseason. A lot of people were trying to fade him. The narrative continued to change. It was like first there's going to be a running back that's going to get drafted and replace him. Then a free agent's going to replace him. Then it's, oh, this undrafted free agent, Sean Tucker, he's going to take his job. And then, you know, it goes on and on and on. And here we are, Rashad White is an RB1. He's had back-to-back weeks of 20 carries, Billy. So he's really propped up by the receiving numbers and also, you know, his touchdown scoring, but the volume is crazy good. What are your thoughts on Rashad White rest of the season, Billy?
Yeah, he's been pretty consistently in like back half RB1 for me in the rankings. I have him kind of in that RB11 to 13 range pretty consistently on a week-to-week basis since I had the projections in the model. It has been 100% the passing down volume that's been propping up those fantasy stats because from an efficiency standpoint, from rushing the ball, hasn't been the most efficient rusher. But we have seen positive trends. Of course, you know, the targets have been helping the overall cause, and now they're scoring touchdowns. So it was one of my guys at the beginning of the season. You can find the little my guy emblem on Player Profiler. It was a volume play. And they didn't really add a lot in the beginning of the offseason. And so here we are seeing him finally get worked into that role and being utilized as we thought it was going to be utilized in the passing game. And so I like his chances as finishing inside the top 12, especially given the landscape of the position. And I think that he has a pretty decent shot of doing so.
Yeah, and I love the my guys that we do at Player Profiler. You flag plant three guys. We flag planted these guys, Billy, like before the NFL draft. And two of my flag plants have gone extremely well. Jahmyr Gibbs, and Dalton Kincaid. It took a couple of weeks, but here we're there. They are looking good. My third flag plant was Jackson Smith and Jigba. Jeff is aware of our bet that we made in the preseason, but Billy loves to rub it in. Jeff, what do you think my chances are on a percentage basis of Jackson Smith and Jigba finishing as a wide receiver three or better at this point in PPR?
It's going to take a more severe DK or Lockett injury. I mean, these guys show up on the injury report every single week, but unfortunately, I think you're flying third class fantasy right now with him.
I'm not flying. I love it. Jeff, that you're a real pro. Billy, you know, it's the holiday season, but you do not let up. You are relentless. I also get text messages from Billy, you know, reminding me of our bet, but you know, we're going to split a team with that 350 anyway, Billy. So I'll end up making money on my 350 loss. So that's just how pure we run at First Class Fantasy. But Billy, you know, I saw a tweet you made, and Billy, you know, lives in Oregon. I live on Long Island. I love the 9:30 in the morning East Coast start time European game. Billy, you are not a fan. You were complaining about it, but you've championed through all of them, and that is over. Jeff, what's your thoughts on a third time slot and early AM game? Did you like them this year? Did you not enjoy them? Like, what are your thoughts?
So I live in LA, so that can probably, you know, size up my answer pretty quickly. I hated them. Can't stand them because I'm getting up at like 5:15 to answer reader questions, listener questions, making sure there's no dramatic late sit, because we have had that in a London game before, where a guy has been a late scratch, you know, an hour and a half before the game, and then you're left scrambling there. So anytime that happens, I have to update the rankings, have to respond to the questions, who you're pivoting to, and like tweeting out and all that good stuff. So hate it. Can't stand it. And, you know, then there's always the routine before the 10 a.m. kickoffs, too, where I've got my usual routine where I'm answering every single question. So I'm trying to watch the game. I'll do that. And then trying to watch Glazer on one of the pregame shows, because I think he's the best of the national reporters. He doesn't report a ton, but he doesn't miss either. And he usually has that one nugget that nobody else has. So I'm always watching for that. Point is, it just throws off my routine. And then I'm just a big hot mess by Sunday night.
Yeah, we're definitely creatures of habit this time of year. It's like the cyclical nature of fantasy football. You know when you're putting in your lineup, you know when you're putting in waivers, and then they throw like the wrench at us with like the third game. So, you know, you guys do get the advantage when we get a very boring Sunday night football, Monday night football game, and I'm like fighting, falling asleep. You guys get the advantage on that one, but we definitely get the advantage on the European games.
See, I'm falling asleep in the middle of like the 1 o'clock games now, because I've been up since five. Like to Jeff's point, I've been working on projections all morning. I've been trying to, you know, I'm on my third cup of coffee. I'm crashing. I've transitioned to wine in the middle of the second game. And next thing you know, I'm asleep at halftime, and I wake up and I got to go look at box scores because I couldn't make it through the second game.
What did I miss? I'm back.
Yeah. We're gonna put that falling asleep not on the NFL schedule, but on the choice to go 10 a.m. red wine, Northern California red, at possibly an Italian mixed in there, but we're gonna say Northern California for Billy. That's an interesting choice, Billy. Not really brunch friendly.
1 o'clock Pacific time, 4 o'clock Eastern.
Okay, time. Four o'clock. You know, it's 5 o'clock somewhere, I guess. Jeff, how about a player that you were really high on? Or your website was really, really high on, and you've been extremely disappointed in them, either by their performance or just simply their usage?
I'll tell – there's a whole category. That end of the second round wide receiver. Oh, Chris Olave, just Calvin Ridley, T. Higgins, all these guys, Devonta Smith. We've been left wanting. I mean, the correct answer was Keenan Allen all along, as it turns out. But, you know, that whole class of player has been – you know, they've had their games. But for the most part, they haven't delivered on what we want. And really, of course, has been a disaster lately. I have a hard time figuring out what I want to do with him in a given week. So I'll say him, and I'll say quarterback-wise, Trevor Lawrence, too. We'll go along with Lawrence. And I blame the offensive coordinator a little bit. I think the play calling has been lacking. They just don't take downfield shots at all. I don't know if they don't trust their offensive line or what the story is there. But it's been a story of frustration. When Josh Dobbs has more 20-point fantasy games than Trevor Lawrence, then we got a real problem.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to touch base on Trevor Lawrence a little bit later. But Billy, like, I'm sure when we get to the offseason, me and you are going to look back at ADP, talk about lessons learned, things we can adjust in our preparation for next year. But that's a great call by Jeff, because that's a landmine-filled area. And guys, I'll also throw out a guy who I think is going to end the season really well. But up until now, you've had one single 20-point game out of Jalen Waddle, and where he was getting drafted, he's been, you know, a purgatory player at best. Yeah. So you have two guys in that little pocket that were, you know, the secondary wide receivers on their own team. And people were like, you know what? The offense is good enough. The consolidation is good enough that they're just going to carry it. But Olave, DK Metcalf, Devonta Smith, T. Higgins, Jalen Waddle, if you would have just gone Keenan Allen instead of any of those guys, you'd probably have another win and a half, maybe another two wins in your record right now. Billy, is there any early lesson learned, or is that something we really got to take a step back and look at?
No, I don't necessarily think it's a lesson learned, because all these guys had proven success. All these guys had, you know, high powered offenses, pretty efficient roles, pretty set roles. It's football, man. Sometimes things change, and we look at, and you can have all the analytics correctly, but it's just sometimes the chemistry changes, or there's different matchups that they're going against that they just aren't able to beat, or injuries, whatever it may be. Another name I'm throwing the hat is Tony Pollard. Right? He's only had
on my list. Yep.
He's only had one finish inside the top 12, the running back position. He's RB25 on the season right now. And it's been one of those disappointing things. So it's like that round two has kind of been unsafe all around. And we've seen a lot of busts. I mean, there has been some hits, don't get me wrong, but it's been a pretty, pretty big disappointment in terms of draft capital that we spent in early August.
I will say one underlying trend is most of these guys are their number two receiver on their team, right? Yes. We want alphas. We want guys that we know are going to get double digit targets. And I think that's one of the takeaways. We got to kind of, dial that back. Remember that next year. Ridley, we thought, was going to be an alpha. So, I mean, you can kind of excuse that a little bit. But we know Higgins is number two. We know that Waddle is number two. We know Smith was probably number two to A.J. Brown. I think that might have been a little bit more debatable, a little bit more risible. On the other hand, we knew Keenan Allen. Okay, he's old. He's fading. No, he's not. And he's still the number one guy. And then, of course, once Williams got hurt, I mean, it was just to the moon with him.
Before we go to an ad, let's quickly take a start sit question. Daniel Dung in the chat, Duong or Dung, says Justin Herbert, Kyler Murray, Brock Purdy, Justin Fields. He's got a very strong group of quarterbacks, but he needs to pick two of them. Super flex. Let's start out with Billy on this one. Which way are you going?
Probably going to go Herbert for sure. I don't trust Fields, so Fields is going to be out for me this week. It's going to be between Purdy and Kyler. Purdy gets San Francisco. Week 11 is Tampa Bay. Kyler gets Houston. I like the over-under Arizona. I think that is the highest over-under of the week at 47.5. So I'm going to go with Kyler here and get a piece of the action.
I'm going Kyler and Herbert as well. We're going to talk a little bit more about that Houston-Arizona game. Jeff, would you go in any other direction with your Superflex decision?
Nope, it's a ringing endorsement. Kyler versus Purdy is close for me. It's 12 and 13 respectively in my ranking. So, yeah, I'm going Kyler, but, yeah, hard to miss on that one there. Both should be great.
Well, awesome. We're gonna talk about some very good offenses and some not so very good offenses after we hear a word from our sponsors.
This episode brought to you by Mojo. Mojo is that player stock market. We love Mojo because we like making lifetime bets on players. You run out the clock on these guys. Mojo just rolled out a brand new fantasy platform. That's right. So now you can build a portfolio of player props. Oh, Ja'Marr Chase, over 77.5. Oh, Kadarius Toney, under 15.5. Whatever the under is on Kadarius Toney, doesn't matter. You can just stack up the props in your portfolio. And the beauty is, once the Sunday games kick off, it's not over. It's not over until it's over with Mojo, because once those games kick off, you can then move in and out of positions. Let's say that you're well ahead of expectations. You can cash out. Let's say you're behind expectations. You're underwater. Well, you can double down. That's what makes Mojo so special, why they're different. Check it out. Go to the App Store. Get the Mojo app and use the promo code Underworld. The promo code Underworld gets you a 100% deposit match up to $100. So the promo code is Underworld, and they will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Go to Mojo, start building your portfolio, and then during the games, you can be a fantasy day trader.
Woo. Welcome back to First Class Fantasy. Theo Greminger and Billy Muzio, joined today by Jeff Erickson of RotoWire. Guys, one of the big storylines of the week and one of the big offenses we need to adjust to is the Cleveland Browns. Deshaun Watson lost for the season. We haven't exactly had explosive fantasy performance by the skill position players in Cleveland, but these guys have become, you know, weekly starters for most. Amari Cooper is wide receiver 19 on the season in PPR. Jerome Ford up to running back 21. David Njoku is tight end 15, but was kind of coming on. Now, what are we doing with those three guys? And what are we expecting from Dorian Thompson-Robinson, who is, by all accounts, a very good scrambler? We don't really know how the passing numbers are going to be supported here. Let's start with Jeff here. Your thoughts moving forward on the Cleveland Browns?
I think this is the classic Monty Hall door number three issue. We know what PJ Walker is. We don't, you know, I think we do at least. We've had enough trials with him. We don't think he's a playoff game winner. DTR, we don't quite know yet. He could be way worse. It could be an abysmal situation there, like it was against the Ravens. But there might be upside as well. And I think that's courageous by the Browns to go this route, knowing that they're 6-3 and, you know, in a decent spot to make the playoffs with an elite defense. I think they are there of that mindset there. How can we be a better team? And it's going to take some rough patches. This Pittsburgh game, man, it's like 33 now as the over under. I mean, it's Iowa esque. So, you know, we're kind of have to kind of bite our tongue this week and, you know, not do much, but Cooper, it hurts, but I think he's still salvageable and usable. I don't think he's going to be sub 36. But Njoku, I'm going to have a hard time starting. I know in that one game against the Ravens, he had seven targets. So maybe you get there on volume in PPR leagues. I think what you're going to see is them run the ball a ton. I think Jerome Ford gets 20 plus touches. I don't know if they're great touches this week against Pittsburgh, but he's going to get a lot of volume.
So I, you know, David Njoku, that's one where I can kind of see it kind of working out because a lot of his stuff's going to be kind of right around the line of scrimmage, but because it's wishful thinking. For me, Billy, are you just adjusting all three of them?
You have to adjust them down. We have a very small sample size to go off of. We have week four is when Dorian Thompson-Robinson started. Limited sample size, didn't get any time to prepare, so you kind of got to take it with a grain of salt as well. Yeah. And that week four performance, you know, it was pretty ineffective. Completion percentage of 53%, yards per attempt at 3.36. So this is going to be low ADOT passing attempts, or if this is the trend is going to continue. So if it's going to benefit someone, it's going to benefit the Elijah Moore. It's going to benefit the tight ends, going to benefit the running backs. People like, you know, Amari Cooper and Tillman or anybody else on the roster, I'm going to be moving down the projections. But when we look at inexperienced quarterbacks, they're typically favoring the slot receiver, they're typically favoring the tight end, they're typically favoring the running back. And so I think that those guys, I don't want to call them safe because I don't think anyone's going to be safe in this game. It's also an interconference game. It's always a tough matchup. You know, they always play a little tougher against each other. And so I think that's going to be tough sledding for Dorian Thompson-Robinson. But I think that if anyone is going to have success, it's going to be one of those three, slot, tight end, or running back.
Yeah, it's definitely disappointing if you have a bunch of Cleveland Browns on your fantasy roster. And I want to get back to the Pittsburgh Steelers, but let's first take a question from the chat. Joe Burrow tonight or Sam Howell versus the Giants? I'm going to go Sam Howell in this start decision. Jeff, I see the Cincinnati Bengals hat on. Back up your boy. Joe Burrow or Sam Howell?
So I'm doing my update of my rankings after this today. And that wrist sleeve thing is scaring me. Yeah. I already had it as Burrow 10, Howell 11. So it's almost toss up zone already. I think I'm probably going to go Burrow because I think I'd be more crestfallen if he goes off on my bench. And that might just be, you know, looking at this through orange and black shades. But at the same time, I see a lower disaster floor. I mean, I see like Howell has got the greater potential for a disaster. He probably has a higher ceiling this week too, but if Burrow goes off and he's on my bench, I'm going to just be hating myself, or I won't be hating myself if Howell does it. It's kind of a crazy way to run your roster, but that's the way I am.
Hey, it doesn't matter as long as you get that W in the win column. Billy, yeah. Which way are you going? Sam Howell or Joe Burrow?
I got Burrow at 10. I got Howell at 12. Over-under for that New York Giants game is only 37. Burrow versus Baltimore is at 46 currently. Again, it's going to be implied totals. I want to go after the scores. And to Jeff's point, I mean, we're going to want a piece of that. If Burrow goes off, we're going to hate ourselves. Where Howell, I think we know he can go off, but we've also seen some blow-up games. I mean, again, this is an interconference division game. I know the Giants have been
absolutely horrific and haven't been able to stop anybody. This game could potentially get, I think, higher scoring than what the implied total is. But that being said, this could also be like a 13-17 game as well. And it could just be an ugly kind of ground and pound game where they lean into Brian Robinson because the Giants are going to, you know, give up totals early and they're just going to continue into the ground game. So I don't fully trust Howell this week in this game. And although as good as he's been, it's hard to say that, but I think that this matchup, I'd rather take the upside of Burrow against Baltimore.
And Howell was just destroyed by the Giants a couple of weeks ago. You know, I don't think Thibodeau is going to play, and that might be a bigger difference. So we'll see about that. And I just don't know what their Giants are psychologically, but it's a division game.
Yeah,
they could get up for that. There
might be the worst New York Giants team we've seen in forever. So I don't know. It's definitely a weird one to try to gauge, because you could, like, I think you talked about the ceiling versus floor. You could see Washington just stomp them. Or you could see like a weird game flow, like this is the pride game and it's 17-13 and nobody eats in fantasy. So definitely an interesting one. Let's pivot back to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Right now, we've seen an increase in usage for Jaylen Warren, kind of named the de facto starter, and plays like 51% of the snaps, which is a big step forward. Right now, Jaylen Warren is running back 28 on the season in PPR, and Najee Harris is running back 29. They're neck and neck. And to Najee's credit, Najee's been producing the last few weeks fantasy-wise. So both of these guys, how are we treating this? Is this a situation where you like one or another, or they both kind of like that low-end RB2s for you / flex plays? Let's start with Jeff on this one.
I've been resisting putting Warren over Harris for a long time, but I made that change this week.
Yeah.
I think Harris is still a usable guy. And in fact, I still have him in a league or two where I'm starting him because Pittsburgh's commitment to the run. It's going to be an ugly game in Cleveland this week. There's no getting around that. But at the same time, and you know, Harris like grades out well with advanced stats, a lot of advanced metrics. Warren's the harder runner. I wonder sometimes if he gets there in hitters counts, if you will. Like, you know, Harris softens up the defense, then Warren comes in and is the home run hitter. But we're seeing Warren get used earlier and earlier in games too. So I think Warren's the guy you want to roster, or you want to have more than the others. And certainly in the long run, I think that's the case. Besides, he's hungry because he needs it, because he keeps getting fined. So he needs to earn that next bonus there. But we'll see.
Yeah, and can we talk about that? Like,
it's crazy.
Stop finding the guys that don't make any money. Find the guys who make some money. It's like ridiculous to take an entire game check away from Jaylen Warren after all he's doing for our fantasy teams, guys, based on his ADP.
And Billy, where does the money go? To the Bob Kraft massage fund? I mean,
where is it? It's definitely like some sort of a slush fund for the powers that be in the NFL, for sure. That's a great question. Where does the money go? This is like an expose for you guys to do over at RotoWire, for sure. Billy, let's talk about this one. Jaylen Warren, Najee Harris, or just simply play either, not both, but play either if you have them. Where are you at?
Yeah, I think you can play either. I know that they're saying that Jalen's going to be the starter. This brings it back to, we've seen people be listed as the starter, get the first snap, and the other back comes in and plays. And so it's kind of more of an attaboy. You're listed as the starter. Last week was the first week we did see, though, Jaylen Warren out-snap Najee Harris 52% to 50%. That being said, though, they have pretty clear, distinct roles. So Jaylen has still been out-snapping him in the route category, 50% of routes last week, 35% of routes for Najee. Targets, though, still about 18% each. They've both been in that 11 to 13 range on average. But this is where it gets interesting. Short down distance snaps, Najee dominates these at 71% last week versus 43% for Jaylen Warren. We saw 33% in week 9 versus 80% for Najee in week 9. And then when you get down to 2-minute drill, the back they trust the most, at least last week, was Najee Harris, 80% of snaps in the 2-minute drill. So I think we have pretty clear roles. I think Jaylen Warren runs harder. We'll probably see him mixed in more in 1 and 2, but they're both still going to be active in the passing game. I think Najee is still going to be the short yardage back, probably going to be the back we're going to see in the 2-minute drill. So as much as I say, I think Jaylen Warren's the better back from an eye standpoint, I think we're going to see them both mixed in still.
Now, here's the question for you guys. Rest of season, there are managers that have both on their team. And that, a lot of times, if you have your handcuff rostered, it's a good thing because you have peace of mind. But in this particular case, it's a headache of which one do I start this week. If you were looking to break up the team, and you could have only one of them for the rest of the season. Which one are you holding on to? Not a dynasty question, strictly redraft. The rest of this season, would you rather have Najee Harris or Jaylen Warren? Start with Jeff.
Warren. I just think that's the higher upside play at this point in time.
Billy.
Oh, man, I've never been a Najee fan, but I'm going to go with the short yardage back here because I'm going to bank on the touchdown, and I'm going to say I'm going to go for the short yardage that Najee has been getting those snaps. So it's close, though. I mean, very close. You can't start both of them. It's called stat cuffing, and I'm not stat cuffing this offense, especially against Cleveland.
Stat cuff the Detroit Lions backfield, though, all you want. Go ahead and put David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs in the same lineup. Sit back and enjoy your money. The chat is lit right now, guys. Smash the like button. We're joined by Jeff Erickson of RotoWire. We're going to take one more question regarding the Pittsburgh Steelers. Permar in the chat, he needs to start two of these guys, Deontay Johnson, Christian Watson, and Jerry Jeudy. Pick two here. I think one's fairly obvious. It's going to be Deontay Johnson. I think we can all agree on that. It comes down to Christian Watson versus Jerry Jeudy. Start with Billy.
Man, I keep telling myself I'm not going to start Watson, and I keep doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it because I keep making the argument for the matchup because it continues to have good matchups. And here we are against the Chargers, another good matchup. I probably lean Watson ever so slightly again here, even though he's only eclipsed 37 yards once this season. So I'm going to be the clown meme and continue to put on my clown outfit as I continue to slide Watson into my starting lineup, and I probably pick him over Jerry Jeudy this week.
It's actually the Godfather 3 meme. Once I thought I was out, they pulled me back in. Christian Watson would be my answer as well. I'm a sucker for punishment, though. Jeff, Jerry Jeudy or Christian Watson?
So I'm the Jerry Jeudy sucker here. I have him in a dynasty league. I keep on thinking this is the week. No, this is the week, and it's not the week. It's 46 and 51, respectively, in my rankings. I don't want to start either. But I'm going Jeudy, I guess. But yeah. And I have leagues where I have to make a decision like that too. I don't want to I don't want to shame anybody in this decision because we all have leagues like this, right? Especially bye weeks kick in, not necessarily this bye week, but you're going to have that tough decision. I'm going Jeudy, but it's a hold your nose sort of pick.
Yeah. It's a really, really tough one. Good luck to you in this week's matchup, Permar. I hope one of these guys hits for you. Let's talk about one of the hottest names in fantasy. If you listen to pretty much any podcast this week, you're going to hear people discussing Keaton Mitchell. And First Class Fantasy, Billy Muzio, we talked about Keaton Mitchell like way back. We had Keaton Mitchell on our rosters on the IR spots like way, way, way back. So we'll pat ourselves on the back of the offseason. It was definitely a good call we made. But Keaton Mitchell now, he's on your roster. Are you starting him? Right now he has 14 touches, he has 200 total yards, and he has 3 touchdowns. He ripped off a long reception last week too. But when it comes down to total snaps played, he's still the third man on the totem pole, and I believe he had 13 total snaps last week. Is this the week he gets ramped up and we start seeing like 25-plus snaps, or is he always going to be somewhat of like a gimmick player, a manufactured touch guy? Where is your trust level with Keaton Mitchell? Jeff, start out with you.
Kenny Pass Pro. I mean, that I think that always explains a lot of playing time issues there. And, undersized back like that, you kind of worry about that sometimes. Do we take John Harbaugh's comments at face value? He said he wants to get Keaton Mitchell more involved. I think there's a possibility of that happening. I think game flow matters a little bit, too. I think so. I think he takes the Justice Hill workload eventually, if not all of it, because I think they still have some like for him. Gus Edwards still gets all the goal line carries, though, unless it's Lamar keeping it himself. So you're not going to get short touchdowns. That's fine. We get that there. But I think that they see the asset they have. And I think the Ravens are a well-run organization, and they'll find ways to get Mitchell involved. I think it'll be incremental. I don't think it's going to all of a sudden go from 10 snaps to 35. I mean, for the leagues where I have Mitchell, I hope I'm wrong. I also hope they wait another week. Would be nice if they do that. So week 12 sounds like a really good time to get Keaton Mitchell more involved, but we'll see.
Billy, where are you at with Keaton Mitchell? Because I know we have him together on a team, and it's difficult to cram him into that lineup. Where are you at in terms of how, based on, I know you have a bunch of Keaton Mitchell, what percentage of your Keaton Mitchells are making it into your starting lineup this week, ballpark?
was a player that I was actually had the most ownership. It was above 85% instead of redraft. Unfortunately, didn't keep him all throughout the IR slash getting re-injured on the hamstring news. So don't own as much as I do used to. It's not an easy matchup. I mean, Cleveland's a tough defense, top four against the run as well. And we have seen increased snaps week after week. So 17% week nine, 22% last week. We saw increased routes as well, 8% versus 17%. And so I think it's hard to keep a home run hitter off the field. It's the kind of guy we've seen it take it to the house now in back-to-back weeks and almost had another touchdown last week had he not been severely underthrown. And so Keaton Mitchell is explosive. I mean, this is like an A-chain light, essentially. And you ask yourself, can you keep A-chain off the field if you're a coach? And the answer is no. That being said, to Jess's point, you have a third down back that's above average in pass protection. You also have a goal line back. So Keaton Mitchell's going to have to score between the 20s. They're not going to get him worked in the goal line. There's going to be certain packages they're going to work him in. So I don't think either that he's going to see, 30, 40% of the overall snaps this week. I could see more of that, 28 to 32% range as they continue to get him more involved. But again, tough matchup and he's going to have to break one. So I'm starting him in some areas because I have to, but I'm still starting players like Jerome Ford over him, probably Jalen Warren. And then if he blows up, I'm going to hate myself, but it's one of those things that's kind of, you got to follow the numbers and the math, and it just doesn't quite equate to putting him in as a lock yet.
So it's more for you, Billy, you're taking the known volume player still over Keaton Mitchell. For me, I think that the argument, Billy makes a really good one, so does Jeff, but if I'm in if I'm looking at my matchup and I view myself as an underdog, that's that like high upside guy that can kind of like put me over the top. So it's a floor versus ceiling argument. And we have a couple of questions regarding Lamar Jackson. So let's stick with the Ravens here. Kyler Murray versus Lamar Jackson this week. Which way are you going? Billy Muzio.
Lamar, pretty clearly for me. I think I trust him a bit more. I mean, you always have the injury still kind of lingering in your head with Kyler. He looked fairly healthy last week. He probably ramps up some more rushing. But I do lean with Lamar still.
How about you, Jeff?
Likewise. It's close. I think Lamar has been a little bit of a fantasy victim of the game flow. There's been two fourth quarters where he hasn't played at all. But that doesn't explain last week where he was outright terrible in the second half. Cleveland's pass rush may explain that, though. And Myles Garrett could explain that. But I'm going to go with him. The Bengals have had a hard time trying to contain Lamar in the past, too. So I think I'll probably still go Lamar. I'm going to go Lamar over Murray. It's closer, though. I've got him at 9 and 11 or 9 and 12, respectively, I think.
Rapid fire, Josh Dobbs or Lamar Jackson? I'm going Lamar in that one. Lamar. Billy?
I'm going Lamar. I got Dobbs at 11.
Jeff?
Lamar.
Okay, good stuff. And we have another question with Adam Thielen showed up in that question. So let's stick around with this. This week, Frank Reich took over play calling duties for Carolina. This is kind of a train wreck of an offense at this point. The one, silver lining was Adam Thielen. A couple weeks back, Billy, we talked about him when he was wide receiver 3 overall in PPR. Now he's starting to creep down to kind of low-end wide receiver 1 land. We've had back-to-back weeks with less than 50 air yards. Where are we at on Frank Reich taking over? Is this like, let's funnel everything to Adam Thielen? Do you anticipate more balance? I don't think we're starting too many Carolina Panthers, so I'm really going to phrase this question. What does this do for Thielen? Where are you at? Billy. Or Jeff, you take.
Go ahead, Billy. I'll listen.
Thielen's been wide receiver 31 the last 2 weeks. I mean, it was kind of a pleasant surprise to see him in that wide receiver 1 category for as long as we did. I didn't think it was going to be sustainable, but the other options in the passing game were lacking as well. So it was kind of a de facto to Jeff's point back in the top of the hour talking about wide receiver 1's the team that are going to be targeted. And this was one of those situations where he's just being targeted on the field. And so, game script's always in the favor as well. This team, they're typically trailing, they're behind. So I think he's still going to have a role, and I think he has every opportunity to outbeat wide receiver 31 on any given week. It's not a player I'm ranking that low on a week-to-week basis simply because of the volume. And we're still seeing the targets. I mean, 27% last week on the season, he's averaging 28% of the targets. He's running 93% of the route. So this is a guy that's on the field. It's hard to come across those numbers
trying to plug in someone else. And so if you have them, you're starting them. And if you drafted them, you're happy with the production that you've had year to date. So I think he's going to kind of consistent role, regardless of who's playing, who's calling the plays in the offense. And we know what the offense looks like moving forward. I don't think it's going to change much.
Yeah, unless Frank Reich can block, I'm not really thinking it's going to change too much here, because the offensive line is just a disaster in Carolina. We saw it all the way in the preseason, and Bryce Young has no chance. I mean, he has not performed well, but he is put in a hopeless situation here, and I don't see that improving, unfortunately.
Yeah, definitely one where you're just starting Thielen, ignore everybody else, and you know that he's going to decline over the rest of the season. I mean, the guy's not going to finish wide receiver 8, wide receiver 9, but it's just how far does he fall? It's a train wreck of an offense, a difficult team to watch. And if you're in a trading league, I don't mind pivoting off of Thielen if somebody wants to pay you a wide receiver a couple spots behind him, just so I can avoid those kind of Carolina Panther games in my fantasy playoffs. But one offense that we're extremely excited about every single week, and they play pretty much the game of the week this week, is the Philadelphia Eagles. You've got Dallas Goedert, who's going to miss for, there's a little bit of a lack of clarity, but I'm guessing it's going to be 3 or 4 weeks of no Dallas Goedert. Where do we see this offense adjusting to? Is it a complete consolidation where you see, I mean, AJ Brown right now is wide receiver 3 overall, getting about all he can handle. Is it Devonta Smith seeing a big uptick in consistent usage? Or do you see maybe a little bit more touches for the running backs out of the backfield? Who stands to gain the most from Dallas Goedert missing time? Jeff, start with you on this one.
You know, I kind of was leaning towards saying Devonta Smith. I mean, yeah. I think that's been the route I've been going here. Trying to pull up the by position data there a little bit there to see if the KC has been any more vulnerable against like pass catching running backs or things of that nature there. Because honestly, KC is a defensive team first right now, which is kind of crazy to say, but I think I'm going to go ahead and say Devonta Smith is a guy that benefits the most. I'm not going to say Albert O, that's for sure.
Yeah, for me, I'm kind of optimistic about DeAndre Swift. We've seen a couple of weeks where he had decent amount of targets, and these past two games that he's played, he's actually seen a pretty high number of snaps. So if I'm kind of self-scouting, I'm going to go with trying to get maybe him a little bit more use, because I think that the wide receivers are already going to get pretty much all they can handle. Billy, kind of where are you at?
Yeah, this goes back to the conversation we had in the preseason. And one of the reasons why I was a little bit lower in Devonta Smith than the average person was, and it was because we had, Goddard missed a large portion of last season. And so they had a consolidated target tree. So I agree with Jeff. I think this is going to benefit Devonta Smith the most. I am interested to see how they involve the tight ends. I mean, does Albert O get at least, 5-7% of the targets? I think is probably realistic. But if he gets more involved than that, I'd be pleasantly surprised. And when we look at the stats from the running back position, Kansas City to Jeff, I just pulled it up. They are 23rd. So, top half or top quarter, I should say, in the league against the running back position. And in particular, have only given up 199 receiving yards to the running back position, mm-hmm. which is going to be second. Actually, that's the second strongest in the league. So this tells me the data is suggesting now that it is going to be receivers that are going to be benefiting. So live kind of analysis, we're pulling it up. So Devonta Smith to me, and of course, AJ Brown are going to be the two biggest beneficiaries.
Yeah, I mean, I just would be pretty excited about all three of the main Philadelphia Eagles skill position players with no Goddard. And we talked about this, Billy. I think it's a great call about the contingent upside of all three. If one missed time, well, we're here. We're going to see it. Question in the chat. Start two of these players, DeAndre Hopkins, Calvin Ridley, Jaylen Warren. Let's start with you, Jeff, on this one. Hopkins against the kind of a leaky Jacksonville secondary that just got shredded. Calvin Ridley in the same game, or Jaylen Warren in the, as you referenced, a Big Ten-esque total?
Yeah, I'm going Hopkins for sure. So it's Ridley versus Warren for me. And it's kind of a big yuck there. I'm going to go Warren. I think I'll go Warren over Ridley just because I know the volume's going to be there. And we don't know in any given week what Ridley's volume's going to be. I'm just so scarred with him right now.
Billy.
I'm going Warren Hopkins as well. I mean, Ridley is either a 3-target guy or a 10-target guy. And when we know that we're getting 18% of the targets pretty consistently out of Warren, I'd rather go with the volume, and the volume is actually going to be Jalen Warren over Ridley.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. It's Hopkins and Warren pretty easily for me. I try to avoid Ridley in that one. And a shout out to our very educated listeners. They know where the money goes. It goes to the Gene Upshaw. The NFL fines go to a Gene Upshaw Player Assistance Trust and NFL Player Care Foundation for the NFL. And get this, guys, the fines used to go to the league and the owners.
Right.
How did the owners get to pocket some of that money? That's just...
Well, somebody think of these poor owners.
Yeah, exactly. Let's think of the poor trillionaires, you know, who's looking out for them. Guys, we want to talk about Brian Robinson. This is one of the biggest surprises of the season. In the preseason, the Eric Bieniemy offense was one where we were getting excited about Terry McLaurin, and then we got very excited about Jahan Dotson for a little, and we've talked about the success of Sam Howell, but right now Brian Robinson is RB6 on the season in PPR. It has not stopped. The scoring has not stopped. Where do we see this going for the rest of the season? These New York Giants have let up 16 rushing touchdowns on the year, Jeff. So where are we at on Brian Robinson? Does he stay in this sort of range? And your kind of surprise level at his production?
I thought he'd be sharing more with Gibson. Now, Gibson's hurt this week, too. So didn't practice today. Something to watch for as far as that goes. I think that Robinson should be a very strong play this week. I was surprised at how much he's been involved in the passing game. That's the one thing I didn't see coming. Last week, especially when he's your leading receiver, as a guy that has a lot of Terry McLaurin in my life, I'm especially disappointed to see that. But at the same time, it's working. Now, Robinson, he's got a little bit of a fumble problem. That New England game was kind of scary as far as that goes. And his rushing totals have actually been pretty disappointing yardage wise. I don't think he's top 70 yards since week 3. He's got to get there in the receiving game. So it's one of those things where, and when he faced the Giants, he had a really awful game. He had a touchdown that kind of saved it, but he was 8 for 23. He should be. And I remember it was like touting him in DFS, like, oh, this is a great week to have Brian Robinson. And then it all fell apart and we had that slog of a game instead. So I think it's a good start, but I'll be using him, maybe not in DFS. Maybe I've been burned before, and I don't often play the he owes me game when it comes to DFS.
And Billy, Brian Robinson getting the Jerick McKinnon-like passing volume is not the storyline we anticipated on the season. Your overall thoughts by Robinson, his fantasy success, and how you see him finishing the season?
Yeah, the passing volume, I mean, it spiked last week. He saw 15% of the targets in week 10, and on the season to date, we're about 6%. I think our friend Nelson Sousa was touting Brian Robinson at the beginning of the season, and I was not really on the train. I have a few shares, but it's I thought we were going to see a little bit more of a 1A, 1B between Antonio Gibson. It just hasn't been it. I mean, Gibson has not really been a part of the rushing attempt or rushing attack at all. And so I think that Robinson, I think he's RB16 for me this week. ECR is RB17. So I'm not that far off. Again, it's down to the matchup. The Giants, though, however, they have given up the 9th most fantasy points at the running back position and the 2nd most rushing yards in the league at 1,117. So, I know that it was a bad outing last time, but this has game script written all over it for me, and I think that it's probably going to be a Brian Robinson game. He'll probably adjust my rankings, quite frankly.
Okay, here's the start sick question. We've seen Ken Walker now be outsnapped by Zach Charbonnet for several weeks in a row. This past week, Ken Walker had 19 carries, and he also had like 2 targets, but one of them he housed for a 64-yard touchdown. So his fantasy numbers were very good. Are you starting Ken Walker versus the Rams or Brian Robinson versus the New York Giants? Jeff?
Pulling up my rankings right now to tell you that. I think I'm going to go Robinson, but because Ken Walker, here's the thing about Ken Walker. When he's in the game, he gets the ball. It's almost this big poker tell. I looked at my rings. I'm wrong. I'm going Walker in this one. I don't love the matchup, but I think it's not as prohibitive as people are making it out to be either.
I'm begrudgingly going Walker, even though I said on a couple shows this week I would be looking to trade him because I'm worried about the usage moving up for Charbonnet. But he's such an explosive player. And I kind of like that Rams Seahawks game to be a little bit more fantasy friendly. Where are you at, Billy?
So the Walker, this is interesting. We've had this talk the last couple of weeks on the Fantasy Bros podcast, and I'm firm belief that these snaps changed right as the calf injury popped up. And I think that they're just being a little cautious and safe with Walker because they're still a playoff team currently. And so we saw it dip from the beginning of the first 7 weeks. He was seeing about 75-ish percent of snaps on a week-to-week basis. The calf injury popped up, and then in numbers was 44%, 47%, 47%. In the rushing attempt category, or percentage-wise, it's been ramping back up now as he's become more healthy. So 44%, 62% in week 9, 76% last week in week 10. It's interesting is the trend in the passing game. He was pretty consistently in that 9, 10, 11% target range percentage-wise. And since his injury, 6, 10, and then now 3. So I wonder if Charbonnet has kind of taken on that role permanently as the passing down back, or if it's, again, just a breather for Kenneth Walker and they're going to continue to use him on the ground and then get him worked back into the passing game. That's the piece of the puzzle I'm trying to figure out. But for me, I'm going to start Walker over here. He's the more explosive back over Robinson. And I think that, I mean, he's one of the best rushers in the NFL, I think, quite frankly. And I'm going to start him over Brian Robinson. So I like it. That is suggesting, though, we're going to see more Kenneth Walker as he gains health back. And I think that that's going to hold true.
Yeah. And if we saw last year, remember the stretch run last year, Walker wouldn't practice, questionable. No problem. Play the full game. I think this is Pete Carroll playing possum a little bit too. He did that last year, just preserving his running back. I think it's smart actually, but I think that's at work again here.
Rapid fire guys this week, Breece Hall or Rashad White in PPR? Billy.
I have Rashad White as RB5 right now. It's going to break down the passing game because SF doesn't give anything on the ground. So he's going to have to get the job done in the air. But Breece Hall is RB8 for me right now.
Jeff, who are you rolling with this week?
Toss up for me, Hall barely, but I wouldn't fight you on this one.
Yeah, I'm going to go Hall, but same tier. I'd be happy to start either. Rapid fire, Keaton Mitchell, Ty Chandler, or Jaylen Warren? Billy.
Caveat is if they officially declare Madison out, it's Ty Chandler hands down for me, then Jaylen Warren, then Keaton Mitchell.
Yeah. Jeff. Chandler, Warren, Mitchell for me too.
Yeah. For me, I think I'm going to go Warren regardless. I just love the way he looks. And I think that's going to be a tough game where they're going to get extra running back touches. Getting away from the running backs here, we've seen an unbelievable run from CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb is now the first player in NFL history to have 10 catches plus or 10 catches or more and 150 yards or more in three consecutive games. Just wild times. And he's done this right out of the bye week, guys. So this was like a self-scouting. Now, Mike McCarthy does everything he can to annoy us today with his comment saying that, you know, something about our fantasy needs that he doesn't care about. Get out of here, Mike McCarthy. You should care about our fantasy needs. But is CeeDee Lamb the league winner? And which wide receiver would you like to have if you could pick any single wide receiver in football for the rest of the season? Let's start out with you, Jeff. Thoughts on Lamb and your pick of any wide receiver in PPR?
I'm old enough to remember when I was complaining about Lamb's workload, where he went 7, 6, 5, 7 in targets. And like, what is going on here? And then it's like that Chargers game right before the bye where he was 7 for 7 for 117, almost was like an eye opener for McCarthy. And he decided to let Lamb and Dak cook. But I'll tell you what, if they lose another high volume passing game to another, when they play the Eagles again, he'll revert back to his old ways. I think it's the thing is the way, because Tony Pollard has been such a disappointment, I think they had to pivot towards this strategy. Exactly. And I think it's killing McCarthy. I think he hates it, but he knows he has to do that there a little bit. So I'd rather go AJ Brown rest of the season, but for me, it's Brown. And they need a toss up between Lamb and Tyreek Hill. I'm going to be a nice guy. I'll go third in that draft and then get another pick on the way back earlier.
Billy, your thoughts?
I'm actually, Jeff is spot on here. I was going to say the correct answer is AJ Brown because you've seen it since week 3 consistently where Lamb is just now picked up and it has been due to the inefficiency of the running game. And so as good as CeeDee Lamb has been, it's been nice to see him with, 16, 14 targets pretty consistently. He's finally been in that 30 to 40% target share percentage. 40% is extremely high. It's not normal. 30% for Lamb, I kind of expected, quite frankly, where now we're seeing, I mean, AJ Brown, though, on the contrary, has been doing this since the, you know, pretty much since, again, week three, 38. I mean, even week two, 27%. So all season, seeing that 30 to 30% plus range, and on the season to date, 33%. So I agree, AJ Brown.
Yeah, it's AJ Brown for me as well. And AJ Brown's top two in the league in receptions over 20 yards. I think that could be like the contingent thing, you know, for the Goddard losses. Do they take just more shots downfield and just throw it up and AJ Brown goes God mode for us? Let's take one more question in the chat. DJ Moore, Tyler Lockett, Zay Flowers. One. You get to pick one of these guys. So a champagne problem for Anthony M. most weeks. He's got three decent choices. We only can pick one here. Let's start with Billy on this one.
Oh, I'm going to refer to the ranking. So it's Lockett. Who else?
DJ Moore, Tyler Lockett, Zay Flowers.
I got Lockett higher than everybody. Zay is in between. DJ Moore is the bottom of the group for me. So I'm going to go Lockett.
I'm the opposite. I've got Moore top because you can't run against Detroit. So I think, and if Fields is back this week too, they have that connection. I think Tyson's secret agent man kind of couldn't throw downfield as often, whereas Fields will. So I think DJ Moore gets a higher share this week. So I'm going to go Moore.
No, I'm going to be right there with you. I think this is going to be a DJ Moore game. You know, we saw those smash games with Fields. This is going to be in positive game flow for him, where you could see Detroit be up a lot and DJ Moore have a chance to really eat in that second half. Want to keep this going, guys. You know, we talked about the Frank Reich taking over as offensive coordinator. Nobody cares about the Carolina Panthers offense, but people do really care about the Buffalo Bills offense. And this week, Ken Dorsey is out as offensive coordinator, and Joe Brady, who at one time was considered to be a football genius at his time at LSU, meteoric rise to the NFL, takes over in Carolina, doesn't work out, but now he's back with a chance to be the offensive coordinator for Josh Allen and a 5-5 Buffalo Bills offense. What changes, if any, do you expect to see, Jeff?
One scapegoat in for another. I remember when Joe Brady was scapegoated for Matt Rule's insistence that they run the ball 45 times up the middle. So I think maybe they open up a little bit more and, you know, it's like, hey, let's make sure Diggs eats. Something of that nature. But at the same time, Josh Allen is, on a per game basis, the number two quarterback in fantasy scoring. Granted, the turnovers have been there. It's not really his fault that Gabe Davis let a ball go through his fingers, though. And it's certainly not his fault that they had 12 men on the field for that field goal attempt. But I think it's a nominal increase, maybe. I think not this week, though, against the Jets, who they've just provided so many problems for the Bills lately. But Even in that first game in game one against the Jets, Allen got his fantasy scoring in that game. And it seems like you get there. So we'll see. I think maybe it might change some of the personnel, maybe some of the groupings that they have come out here. Maybe this Dalton Kincaid renaissance that we've enjoyed might be tempered down just a smidge. That's maybe something that would change. But I'm just spitballing. I'm not really sure what's going to change.
Don't say anything negative about Dalton Kincaid.
I know. You're a baby. No, I can't do that too.
I can't take it. Billy, what are we going to see? Could we see more targets for Dalton Kincaid? Can we go opposite of Jeff here? And I think the question for me really is, Billy, do we see more consistent usage out of our guy, James Cook? Because last week we saw Latavius Murray, and then you have Leonard Fournette kind of waiting in the wings here. What do you see happening with the offensive coordinator change to Joe Brady?
So I was going to say, I think we do see Cook a little bit more, but it's with the caveat of that he can hold on to the ball. He put the ball on the ground once. That was clearly his fault. One was Josh Allen to just drop the ball in the handoff, but Cook got very lucky on that long run where the ball bounced right back in his hands. If that doesn't bounce just like that, he loses another fumble. And I don't think we see him for the rest of the game after that point. And so it would have been a completely different story. I think we'll see him a bit more this week. It's going to break down to, I think, the matchup. I think they're going to be smart. I mean, the Jets are extremely difficult versus the wide receiver. They've given up the fewest fantasy points of the position. We know they've got shutdown corners. Tight end, though, they've given up the 18th most. Running back, they've actually given up the 14th most. And so I think we're probably going to see them lean on the tight end, lean on the running back position. We want to see them utilize their tight end that they've spent high capital on. They're going to want to utilize the running back with Cook. And then I think they're going to try to, at that point, kind of keep the defense honest. And then that's going to open up some more big plays down the field for these receivers. So again, spitballing. I would like to say, though, that was a humdinger that he missed with Gabe Davis across the field. That thing would have broke his finger. That thing was thrown with some velocity. So definitely a tough catch, but he should have caught the ball.
Yeah. And a big shout out to the chat. A lot of people watching right now. Quick, let's take one more quick question. Devon Achane looks like he's going to play this week. Probably gets announced back on Saturday. So you got to be a little patient there. But it sounds about the beat reporters are saying he's going to go. This question seems almost comical. Devon Achane or Jerome Ford. But I guess there is a little bit of trepidation for the way that Achane is going to be utilized in his first game back. I have no reservations. I'm 1,000% starting him this week, especially if it's against like a low-end RB2 like Ford. Where are you at, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm going Achane as well. You know, it was funny listening to that answer about how much he's going to play for Mike McDaniel, but at the same time, it's against the Raiders. And yeah, we got this era of good feeling for the Raiders right now, but wait till they play a real team on the road where O'Connell has to throw the ball more against and the pass rush warms up, and you start getting into this, you know, catch-up mode for one team, and Miami going off to the races where they boat race everybody at home. I think this is a perfect setup for a big blow up here for Achane. So I'm going to go Achane.
What are we thinking, Billy? Do we have any trepidation?
No. Raiders just get crushed on the ground. I mean, they give up the fifth most fantasy points to the receiver. They've given up over 1,100 rushing yards. I think Achane gets slid back in. We've seen Mostert kind of struggle as of late as well. And so I think that Achane is going to be inserted back in, and we're going to pick up where he left off. So if you sit him, I think you're going to regret it. I mean, this is an explosive offense, explosive plays, and it's the kind of guy that's going to take it to the house any given time.
Okay, guys, here's a question from me. I have a $750 FFPC Dynasty League, Billy. And as we know, in FFPC Dynasty, you get paid for the top two spots for the regular season. So I am currently in the number two spot, and I need a win. This was an Anthony Richardson team. Then this was a Kirk Cousins team. And now this team has been like dumpster diving at the quarterback spot. I'm Will Levis or Baker Mayfield this week. In a must-win game, who are you going with? Will Levis against Jacksonville or Baker Mayfield against your San Francisco 49ers, Billy?
Probably go Baker. I just like the weapons better. San Francisco is beatable in the secondary. The front is masking the secondary's problems is what it is. But if they don't get to the quarterback, we saw this, you know, firsthand against Minnesota where, you know, Cousins kind of diced him up. And I don't think that Baker's going to dice him up, but he's got, you know, Evans, he's got Godwin, he's got White that he can release the ball out to. I mean, even Otten's been more involved. I think this is more of a Godwin game, just because San Francisco, you know, gives up low A dot passes because the quarterbacks have to get the ball out of their hands quickly. But so I have them back to back my rankings. This is coin flip area, but I get a slight lean to Baker.
Okay, guys, we're almost at an hour here. Let's get Jeff's answer on the quarterback decision first. Where am I going for all the money? For all the money,
I kind of hope not to have to answer this question.
No, it's a tough one.
It's so funny. Funny phenomenon is people ask these tough questions. They inevitably are back to back in my rankings always, and it's Levis 22 and Baker 23, and it's part because Baker's coming in with the injury this week, and because I think the pass rush is getting better and better for the Niners. I think they fixed their woes after the break. I'm going to say Levis, but man, if it's raining in Jacksonville, that's enough to switch things over. If it's raining in San Francisco, it's a way to switch it back. I mean, it's just that close. It is not a glowing endorsement, but I'll say it's, you know, trepidation is it's Levis for now, but it's like 51-49.
That's who I had it. I had in Levis, and now Billy's making me question everything in my life right now with that answer. So I'm going to have to labor this through right up until like kickoff, guys. It's a tough one. Guys, we're nearing an hour here. How about if I'm looking to dumpster dive, Billy, who's the guy that's sitting there on every single waiver wire that if I need to throw a guy into a flex and, you know, I'm desperate, who's the guy you're looking at?
Somebody I added a lot during this week was Jalen Guyton. So he saw 85% of the routes last week, 12% of the target share. And I think he's going to continue to be involved in this offense as long as Josh Palmer is on IR. So we know that Keenan Allen is slightly banged up as well. So I know QJ is probably sitting there. People are expecting a big QJ week, but I think QJ is more of a 2024 play. So Guyton, I think, is going to get inserted in here as a potential wide receiver three, maybe back in wide receiver three. But I do think that he has the ability to finish inside the top 30, given the matchup and given his involvement in the offense.
Yeah, I like it. Jeff, how about you?
I love the Guyton response. If you have it for Thursday night, can I interest you in Trenton Irwin with no T. Higgins? Yes. Should have had two touchdowns last week, not just one. If you really want to go sick and crazy, how about Julio on Monday night? If there's a lot of, talk about a beneficiary to no Goddard. I think Julio looks like a tight end right now. Maybe he could just fill that role.
Big and slow.
And then the opposite side of that game, Jerick McKinnon. They've been holding him back, and I think he's a guy that could explode in the second half of the season.
Jerick McKinnon's actually in my sleepers article that should come out tomorrow on playerprofiler.com. I love that answer, especially in this sort of like a huge game. You could just see Jerick McKinnon catching like two touchdown passes. For me, it's Rondale Moore. He's sitting there on a ton of waiver wires. I was going to go Kyle Phillips, but I think like Billy like made me feel bad about my answer. So I'm going to go a little bit more generic, and I'm going to go Rondale Moore. He had a season high in targets, season high in receiving yards in Kyler Murray's first game back. I know we're all waiting for Hollywood Brown like season to happen. Trey McBride's a guaranteed starter for everyone, but I'm going to go Rondale Moore if I'm looking for a guy that can get me like 10 PPR points in a pinch. And guys, just a quick Arizona question. James Conner confidence level and Hollywood Brown confidence level. Last week, the Brown gets like the early target and then it just didn't happen. James Conner gets 16 carries, but he doesn't get any targets. What is your confidence level in those two guys in a game that screams over?
Oh, I mean, with Conner, I mean, the 16 carries are enough answer for me that they have the confidence there. You're not going to get as many targets when Kyler's going because he's going to scramble. It's like any running quarterback. Yeah. You've got that issue, but they trust Conner. Conner makes this offense a better team. So I have definite confidence there. And then Hollywood Brown. Yeah. I mean, it didn't quite happen last week, but everyone benefits from having a healthy Kyler.
Billy.
Confidence is a strong word, but I think that Conner is probably, I think it's safe. The carries, even though it was only that many carries and you look at the percentage wise, it was still 67% of the rushing attempts. So that says a lot. I mean, any back getting over 50% is decent. Anyone getting over 60% is now a bell cow. So I think he gets more involved in targets, but it's again, to just point, it's all breaks down to Kyler's mobility and when he pushed the ball to the field. And now he's using Rondale as that outlet in the intermediate routes as well. So low ADOT, going to be getting those passes. That's what we saw, 30%, the highest of the entire season for Rondale. So good call on you there, Theo, but I think Rondale benefits, everyone benefits the passing game. Confidence is a whole nother discussion.
And I love Jeff's call. Like, let's just make Julio tight end eligible. Like, let's make him a waiver wire tight end. It'll be a very fun storyline. We got to give one more question in the chat because it's our producer JR. He needs start sit advice here. Tua Tagovailoa, Patrick Mahomes, CJ Stroud. I mean, what kind of champagne problem is this, Jay? This is his super flex starters. We need to pick two of these top like eight quarterbacks this week. Mahomes, Tua, or CJ Stroud. Jeff, pick two, please.
Mahomes for sure. I love this shootout potential here against the Eagles secondary, which has been just giving it up all year. I'm going to say Tua over Stroud, but it's not with a ton of confidence. But again, like you said, this is, this is not just first world. This is Paris Hilton problems. It's trust fund baby problems.
Give me a break, JR, for throwing this question in the chat, but I'm going to go, I'm actually going to go with Stroud because I think it's going to be a shootout. I could just see them, not having to lean on two in the second half and just run the ball. Billy, where are you at for JR?
I'm going to go with the two highest over-unders of the week. I'm going to go Stroud and I'm going to go Mahomes, and I want pieces of those games. And so Stroud's been on fire. You got to start him, I think, right now. And I mean, Mahomes, you're never going to bench. So I think that though Stroud and Tua are very close, I lean Stroud.
And congratulations on the money you're going to win this year, Jay. That's great. Billy, talk to everybody about what you're doing every single Saturday night with Bradley Stalder right here on Player Profiler YouTube. And this is YouTube only, but you guys have the Dominator going. And if you enjoyed these sort of start-sit questions we did with Jeff, tell everybody where they can find this and what time you guys are going.
Yeah, shout out to the chat. Sorry we couldn't get to everything today. It is lit. There's a ton of comments in there. So if you have more of these start sick questions, that's what we do on Saturday night. Lineup lockdown, we call it. And we sit there and I literally just drink wine, answer your start sit decisions, and we just have fun with the crowd. And we do it as a kind of a Saturday night tailgate party, and we kind of hang out and just get all your questions answered. So we go through all the final injury stuff inside the projections and the model, and we get everything answered based upon what we have projected. Both Bradley does his own, I do my own, and we compare the two, and we deliberate and discuss each of your start sit decisions, and we try to get to them all. We always say it's a 30-minute podcast. We usually go 45 minutes to an hour because we want to get every question answered. We usually start between 6 and 7 o'clock my time, so 9 and 10 o'clock Eastern on average. So it kind of varies depending upon our schedules, but that's what we do every Saturday.
And Billy and Bradley are very, very good with this, and they're very, very generous with their time. And they answer them all. So that, definitely check that one out. Jeff, this was awesome today. Love chopping it up with you. Let everybody know where they can find your work.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me, guys. First of all, always on RotoWire. Check out RotoWire. We always have a free trial if you guys want to check it out, rotowire.com/pod. You can see my rankings there. We call it the value meter. I'll be doing an update this afternoon with that trial. There's no credit card or anything like that. Just kick the tire, see if you like it. And if you don't, it just goes away. I talk a lot. So I do podcasts a week. I do 4XM shows usually at 8 to 10 p.m. SiriusXM Fantasy. So you can catch me there and just on Twitter at Jeff_Erickson.
Yeah, and a big shout out to what you guys do at RotoWire. We love Alan Soslowski. It's my co-host at Sonic Truth. Love Jim Coventry, Mario Puig. You got a lot of really, really sharp guys over there. So definitely check out Jeff's work. And check out Press Coverage. I did it early this week. That's my solo pod. I had Jacob Sanderson on. We covered a lot of the week's topics. And if you're a Dynasty player, Dynasty Life, I debuted it about 2 weeks ago with Ryan McDowell. And tomorrow, Heath Cummings from CBS is joining me. Billy, this was awesome. Really, really enjoyed chopping up with you guys. This is week 11, guys. This is the time to put the time in, get your lineup decisions correct, grind that waiver wire in the secondary waiver. Let's win some money. Let's win some titles. Stick with us here at First Class Fantasy. Rest of the season, we got you covered.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, I want to take a moment to thank you for tuning in. It's important to me that all of our media be free. This is only possible because of you, allowing a true independent sports media enterprise to thrive unlike any other in the business. So please subscribe to the All-In Package to continue to make all of this possible, to ensure that all of our stats, information, data, content is available to you, especially you, the people that get the site and get the show.